So let's jump into a very, very freilicha. So again, last week we began the world of Tzuras HaPesach, and in terms of the basics, definitions of a mezuzah and a mashkov, machlokas, Rambam, the other Rishonim, whether we accept the idea of a pischa d'akrona, Rosh Hakshalim, a dipetzimim, and the machlokas HaTanoi, Rav Meir, and the Chachamim, about the number of mezuzahs that are necessary. Do you only need one pitzimi? Do you need two? You certainly need a pitzimi min, the Gemara said, but whether you need a pitzimi small as well, or a pitzimi min suffices, big machlokas HaTanoi, machlokas Shom HaPaskin. Somewhere over the past week, I had a chance to do a walkthrough, mezuzah walkthrough in the new construction of Beth Abraham, which Merchant will be opening for business over this coming weekend. So I sent him a couple of pictures that got so many of the issues that we dealt with in last Chabur and in the previous Chabur also came up. The Pitzim Yamin, Pitzim Yismal, a drop for Rosh Hakshalim for the Mashko, for lack thereof, as well as the issues of the center posts with the Hekertzir to Mechalik into a separate Pesach. So those were the basics, and we wanted to now jump into some of the special cases, more unique types of psachim. We dealt a little bit with some of the special cases. In the earlier Chabur, we spoke about the horizontal Pesach Tshuva, the Nod Yehuda, the horizontal Pesach. I wanted to jump in now, particularly into the sugya of Kippah, that's Yuma Yudaf and Erevin Yudaf. If you have a chance at the end of the Chabur, maybe we'll have a couple minutes to talk about Gemara later in Erevin, the Erevin Sadi Beis, about Chatzar Gedol and Chatzar Ketana. So, but let's turn our attention to the world of Kippah, and that is again, how often do you have Gemara that shows up in two different Masechtas, the exact same blot, and I don't know how many times that happens, but here you have it, Erevin Yudaf and Beis, Yuma Yudaf and Beis, both of them are quoted, both Mekomos are quoted in the Beis Yosef, Machlokas HaTanoim, between, once again, Machlokas Remer and the Chachamim. The repetition of the names you're going to see is perhaps significant. Machlokas once again in Meir the Chachamim, this time about what the Gemara in Yuma refers to initially as different girsos. Our girsos is Shara Hamadai, Paros Hamadai. It's Manyan and Yoma. So apparently there are different cultures, different architectural styles. At least that's the girsa that we have some rishonim about the girsos. But if you have the girsa shara madi, so that means in Madai this was a common type of doorway. What was a common type of doorway? The answer is a kippah. An arched doorway was a common type of doorway in Madai. And first the Gemara quotes a brisa of Shmuel bar Yehuda was the Tana. He lived in the time of the Amoraim, the Talmud of Rava. He was the Tana. It was a job. He would recite brises. So in Rav's Beis Meresh, he recited a brisa that lists seven different types of psachim, which are pater from mezuzah, but indicates also that one of them is machlokas, which is machlokas shar hamadi. The kippah, that's a machlokas. The brisa indicates probably your pater, but there is a machlokas. The Gemara goes on to quote a second brisa, the Bryce, which appears in the Erevin as well, which is more explicit. The Meir holds the Kippah is Chayiv, and Chacham holds the Kippah is Pater. You have an arched doorway, so the Rov HaTanam held that is Pater. Then the Bryce goes on, the second Bryce goes on to add also, well, Chacham say Pater. Not every arched doorway is Pater. Only time Chacham holds Pater is if you're missing Yesh Barag, if Ein Barag Leha Asara. If you don't have raglayim asara, so then chachamim hold that you're a pater. If yesh raglayim asara, then everyone agrees that you're chayav. Then in both, that's the end of the brisa, and then both in Erevin and in Yuma, the Gemara goes on to quote the Amora Abaye. He limits Rabbi Meir. Abaye comes to say, the brisa said according to chachamim, you're a pater, if ain't raglayim asara, you should know, even Meir doesn't hold that every single arch doorway is it's chayiv. He has standards also. What are his standards? Number one, it has to be 10 tvachim high, which is a point that the first brisa had made also. And if you look back at the first brisa, that was not multiple machlokas. Clear in that first price, everyone agrees you need gova asara. And not only that, but Abaye says there's another point that Meir agrees to. Meir also agrees that you need to have raglayim of at least gimel, but rochav arba tvachim. That's a rule that comes up many places. Sometimes less than gimel tvachim off the ground doesn't count. Ka'aras mechtadami comes up in all sorts of other contexts. Yeah, you're not allowed to step on a, and you didn't draw a button on the end of Maseches Erev, you're not allowed to climb a tree. Comes up in Beitza and Erev. Not allowed to call it climb a tree on Shabbos Yontif. Not allowed to lean on a tree on Shabbos Yontif. So what's called a tree? So specifically, let's say you're walking down the street. I'm not going to climb a tree. I mean, I wouldn't even climb a tree during the week. But certainly on Shabbos, not going to climb the tree. There's a tree growing on, you know, on the edge of the sidewalk between the street and the sidewalk. Okay, I'm not climbing the tree. I'm minding my own business walking down the sidewalk. But in one place, there are roots that are popping out. Am I allowed to step on the roots? The Gemara says the end of Erev. Well, it depends. Usually the roots popping out of the ground are less than gimel tvachim off the ground. So that's just an extension of the ground. Well, a little bit like lavud. But if it's more than gimel tvachim high, that array is significant, and to step on that is like ola b'ila. So here too, they say if the raglayim are less than gimel tvachim high, it's garnished. Even Reb Meir agrees you have to have raglayim. Raglayim mean gimel tvachim high and four tefachim wide. If you have in the center 10 tefachim height and along the edges you have raglayim that are four tefachim away from each other, width of four tefachim and height of gimel tefachim, so then Reb Meir says l'chokek in hashem. That's how Abaye limits Reb Meir. Of course, Reb Meir agrees that you need something, you need some type of raglayim, and you need at least one point in the middle which has a height of 10 tefachim. But he says we can imagine chokking lash. Once you have the framework, you have a somewhat significant raglayim along the bottom, and you have in the center a height of 10 tefachim. So then you can imagine ki'ilu the whole thing is carved out. The Chum say no. You mamash have to have full mezuzos that are 10 tefachim. You have to have raglayim which are asar. So that's how Abaye explains the machlokas. What the chokking lash them. The chokin lashem or ain chokin lashem. That idea of chokin lashem comes up elsewhere in Shas also, and it's similar to an idea, a concept at least, that comes up in other places too. I apologize. Once again, you have an Atlantan marker. Okay. So once again. If you have something like this, we have a keep on the top, you have a rounded piece on the top, but you have raglabin that are a height of 10 tefachim, so that's chayim kulyam. But the makwitz which is machlokas is you have raglabin which are 3 plus tefachim, but not 10. You have a height of 10 tefachim in the middle. And these raglayim are four tefachim, four plus tefachim from each other. But here it gets narrow. Here raglayim asara in the center of 10. So a mayor says, yeah, well, you imagine ki'ilu you carve out at the dotted line, ki'ilu you have your full pesach, and therefore your chayiv. So this is the case which is machlokas. Right, so it's similar a little bit, at least the concept, two other examples of the concept. You have tefillin, so you're looking at tefillin from the top, so there's a lot of squares, a lot of ribuim that you need. So the bias itself that has the parsha says the meruba, then the titura around the base also has to be meruba. But there's a practical problem. If you can have a square base, so where's your ritzua going? So you have the mabarta that's connected, and Ritzua goes through there. So, but then if the Mabarts is going to throw off the squareness of the Titura, so the answer is, you have three sides, you have full size, square sides, and the fourth side, the side of the Titura that faces the Mabarta, you square off the corners, and then it flares out like that. So, we're imagining Kilo goes across. Or another example of that the second pipping and second parak of the Erevin, Gemara says in certain cases, let's say once again looking from the top, Gemara is a case of a pasi de rose. Here you have a well, a water cistern, that the other regalim are going to use, either traveling aliyah or regal, coming or going, and need water. Problem is that the bar itself is Rosh Hashanah, but the area around it is Rosh Hashanah. So how on Shabbos are you going to dip in? So you have to create some sort of what we would call a neirah, to create some sort of mechitzas around. So how do you create the mechitzas around? So the Mishnah says in that particular case, this bar for the water for the Oli Regel, so we allow a very minimal mechitzah. What does a very minimal mechitzah look like? Put up from the top, you put up beams, not going to make a mechitzah all the way around. You put up a corner over here, a corner over here, a corner over here, and a corner over here. And the Tanakh say, if there's too much space in between, you may have to put pieces like those. So you have the outline, of Mechitza, these corners, these parts of the verse, also have that idea. So, similarly, at least in concept to the Titura, similarly, at least in concept to the Chapman Rosh. Yeah, I'm not saying that all these are the same, but the conception is similar. So, Meir says, a little bit more of a Kiddush, that even if you actually have material there, sort of like the Titura, you have material there, there isn't actually space, you're looking for a ten tefach in a doorway, you don't actually have it, you know, if you're looking for, or if you're looking for ten tefach mezuzos, you don't actually have ten tefach mezuzos. Okay, the Meir says, you can imagine Chokin Lashlam. In other words, if the whole, literally, if you have a one-room schoolhouse and the whole thing is narrow, you don't have a wall that extends this far, then there's nothing to be Chokin. But if you have a big wall, and just it's, the opening is not large enough, so maybe it's Chokin Lashlam Yechayev, and Chacham say, no, you don't have the proper Tzuras HaPesach, you don't say Chokin Lashlam, and Chacham therefore say, that you're pater. So there are two major issues here. One major issue is how do we pass? Second major issue is what exactly are they talking about? The first issue is a little bit simpler. How do we pass? We have machlokas hatanam. Machlokas hatanam. The mayor says chayv cham say pater. So there definitely are rishonim who clearly hold like the chachamim, the Rif, and the Rambam are quite explicit. The hold of a chachamim, and in such a case, you're pater, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, quite clearly. So the Reish Bei Zayin says, "Bayis Yesh Mezuzah Mikan Umikan Kipa Kmin Kesher Sashtei Mezuzah Bakama Mashkov." Quotes the language of the Rambam. If you have Gova Mezuzah, you're Tvach Miyos, you're Chayiv. If not, you are pater. The curious discussion that the Beis Yosef has, the tour also says that you pass like the Chacham. The tour also says that Ein Chokin Lashon like the Chacham. So Beis Yosef is an interesting conversation. Beis Yosef says, "Well, interesting that the tour passed like the Chachamim." His father, passing like the fathers of the Rosh, passing like the Rambam. So then he says, "Well, maybe the Tur understood that his father changed his mind." And it's important reading the Beis Yosef. You have to understand that after the Rosh, you always have every Masechta. After the Rosh, you have the Kitzur Piskei HaRosh. So the Kitzur Piskei HaRosh cuts out all of the Shaka Vataria. Mamash just gives you one after another Piskei Halacha. The Kitzur Piskei HaRosh, is important to know, was written by the Torah, right? His son, Benu Yaakov, Bala Torah, and Ben Yaakov Ben Asher, before, I believe historically, it is what Freiman writes, often Freiman, many decades ago, put out a biography of the Rosh and the Torah, published by Masada Rav Kook. Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. His Bekiyas and Tshuvas HaRosh is unbelievable. He culls so much historical information and biographical information with Tshuvas HaRosh. Unbelievable. And he has an inspiring story of the Rosh and the Rajba there. I'm not going to mention that. I'll tell you very Bekitsa. The Rosh flees shortly after as Rabbi Aaron Rotenberg passes away in jail, in prison, in Eisenheim, in Germany, the Rush flees for his life, takes his family, and flees to Spain. And escapes before the Rheinfleisch massacres. Unfortunately, his chaver, the Mordechai, did not escape in time, and perishes as a relatively young man. I think I mentioned earlier in the year that's why the Mordechai is not as finished a work, is not as edited a work as the Rush is, at least in part because the Mordechai died a young man, didn't have the opportunity to finish it. The Rush flees to Spain, ultimately settles in southern Spain, becomes a Rav in Toledo, and for some other time. That's why in the later writings of the Rush, particularly later Tshuvas, there's a lot of discussion about, now that I am in Sfarad, I see the Sfaradim have this practice. In Ashkenaz, we do this. In Sfarad, we do this. And he's comparing, contrasting, and sometimes prefers the Sfaradi approach, sometimes the Ashkenazi approach. Historically also, that's why the tour was uniquely placed to do what he did, because he had obviously tremendous access to the Masor of Ashkenaz through his father. And also had gotten access to the Masorah of Sfarad, growing up among Sfaradi Talmidei Chachamim in Toledo. The Rush on his way passes through Barcelona. Toledo's in southern Spain. On his way to Toledo, passes through Barcelona, where the Ramban had been the Rav, and at that point, Ramban's Talmud Muvuk, the Rashba, had taken over the Kisei Rabbanus. And he describes Freiman, apparently they sat closeted themselves for 8 days. No one knows what. I've thought often, like, to be a fly on the wall. Can you imagine, like, two of the greatest Talmidei Chacham of the last 1,500 years probably never saw each other before. They knew they would probably never see each other again. They must have known of each other. They may even have corresponded even beforehand. And Mamish, like, two of the greats of Mechamim of the last 1,500 years. Two of the Mechamim have had unusual impact. Few Talmidei Chachamim since Chasimus HaTalmud have had as significant impact on our halachic life as the Rashba and the Rush. Gedola Yisrael, they had 8 days together. Like, what happened in that room? Were they like flying around Shas together? What would you give to be a fly on the wall? Something to think about. When you're tired, you can't focus during Seder. You can imagine that picture. Imagine that picture. So, coming back here, it is important. So Freiman points out that the Retour wrote the Kitzer Piskei Rosh, who was Makatzer, his father's psakim, in it. That was one of the preliminary steps, one of his hachanos to writing the Tour. It was first to Makatzer, his father's works. It's important to realize the Kitzer Piskei Rosh is the Tour's understanding of his father, the Rush. In the Kitzer Piskei Rosh, he writes that we pass like the Chacham. So Beis Yosef, that's what Beis Yosef is referring to. Now, the Tour paskins in the Tour like the Chachamim, and in the Kitzer Piskei Rosh, he understands his father pass like the Chacham. So Beis Yosef has a comment, odd, because in the Rush in front of us, he passes like Rav Meir. So the Beis Yosef says, well, maybe the Rush changed his mind. The Tour understood that the Rush, that was just a Havamim. He says halacha nearer the halacha kumeir, nearer. Okay, so the Madana Yomtiv from the bottom of the Rush is shocked at the Beis Yosef. His language is wow. Amina kinayim v'shachiv. It's a Talmudic phrase. He says the Beis Yosef must have been half asleep when he wrote this. He says if you read the Rush, it's clear that's not what he means. He says it's true the Rush writes Kippa, there's a machlokas, and it says near Dalach your mayor. But he says this is something that we've mentioned in the past, that the Rush wrote his sefer by taking the riff and then adding additional. The Rush is meant to be a riff plus. It's a riff with added notes representing the chidushim and psakim of the later Chachmei Ashkenaz. The riff lived, was a contemporary of Rashi. The Rush lives around 200 or 300 years later. So he says, the Madan Yantar mentions that historical point, and he says the Rush wanted to give you the whole chunk of riff, but then he's going back not to talk about Kippah, he's going back to the beginning, to the previous issue, what we dealt with last week, that we mentioned where we're getting started today. The previous Machlok is the Chacham about one Pitzin versus two Pitzinim. He says, that's what he means by halachic Rav Meir. That's what we discussed this last week. He says, you keep reading. He's clearly talking about the issue of one p'tim, two p'tim. He says, you be shmar, be kiva kaimi kavasei, and mi min, mi small. My Dayan says, I said, I don't understand how the Beis Yosef read the Rosh. Maybe a different girsa. He's like, aminiki naim v'shachiv. Beis Yosef wrote that. He said, there's no issue. He said, that's everything's consistent. Everything's consistent. The Torah wrote Nikitzer Pesker Rosh. And in the Torah, consistent with what his father was just writing the language of the, he was writing the language of the Rif. So Al Pi Pashas, we definitely do Paskin like the Chachamim, that if Ein Bragla Sara, you are Pater. Although I should mention that if you looked at the Chuvas Maril, we've seen countless times that the Chovas Hadar is kind enough to include in its in fully the end of the Sefer, Simon Sari Dalit, he has a line, because Shaul had asked him the whole complicated case, one of the doorways, it's not Yud by Dalit. So Maril says, and not Yud by Dalit, it's Pater, but Mistama, there's enough there, you could be Chokik L'Hashlem. Can't imagine, it's Mamish, so tiny, you even have a Yud at one point, you even have the Gimel by Dalit at the bottom, Mistama Chokik L'Hashlem. So that Maril Taka does Paskin. Like Rav Meir, it's interesting. And the truth is, a hint of that in earlier Chachmei Ashkenaz, my real is one later Chachmei Ashkenaz, Tosfos on Yuma Yudav of the days, the second Tosfos, the smaller Rav Meir, so he is trying to defend Rav Meir a little bit. The Gemara just presents Rav Meir Chachamim. Tosfos said, well, there is a Gemara in Shabbos Zayin Amud Aleph, it's separate from the longer Tosfos about Zayin Amud Beis, there's a Gemara in Shabbos Zayin Amud Aleph, that sounds like in Chokin Lashlim, but he says no. Even Rav Meir agrees that if it's not Yud high at any point in Chokin Lashlim, so that Gemara is not relevant. So it sounds like this Tosfos Dimaskol Rebbe is trying to defend. It sounds like he's trying to say, don't prove to me from Shabbos Zayin Amud Aleph the Apostle of the Chacham. He's trying to create some space, no pun intended, to potentially pass like a mayor. So it could be that you hear there at least a hava me to pass like a mayor, which is expressly articulated by the Maril. Maril seems to have passed like a halacha. Why he would have said that is a good question. Maybe we could conjecture, after all, Abaye is spending a lot of time trying to work out a mayor. So maybe sometimes Rishonim will say that since the Amar Hanli, according to one Shita, sometimes that's an indication that that's how we should pass it. Again, usually we don't pass like Rav Meir against his Chaver, particularly Yachid Rabim. So we understand well why the Rov Rishonim, Rif, Rosh, sort of the Rosh and the Rambam and the Tor, pass like the Chamim, but at the same time we understand perhaps where Maril, is coming from as well. So that's the first question. The question of how do we pass the Rav Meir of the Chachamim, the Halacha L'Maisa, Maril and Tosfos Yuma notwithstanding, we do pass the Rav Meir of the Chachamim. But that raises significance of question number two, which is the Chachamim say they need Yesh Bragla Asara. That's how they pass him. The question is, what exactly does that mean? Okay, so we pass the Chachamim, you need Yesh Bragla Asara. But how would you define that? So this is where things get fascinating. There is a big machlokas. So Rishonim, machlokas Rambam Tur, usually sent to machlokas Rambam, and against the Rashi in the Tur. What do you mean by raglayim asara? So the Rambam appears to hold, and the Mukhe Yosef writes this explicitly. On the Rif, the Vava Menalf Batapi Rif, and the Beis Yosef sends you to Chuvas Arashba as well, perhaps that Yesh Ragla Asara means it has to be mamish straight. I need to at least the first 10 tefachim, the way you have in this picture, the first 10 tefachim are mam is straight. That's where Ragla happens. Rashi keeps talking about rochav dalet. Yesh Ragla Asara means that the first 10 tefachim, for the first 10 tefachim off the ground, you have a width of of four tefachim between one side. Between one side and the other side. I take a look in the Ritva. The Ritva in Ervin sounds like he also may be aligned with this position of the Rambam. And the Torah is explicitly like what the Rashi appears to say. He says you need at least 10 tefachim before they get so narrow that it's not dal tefachim wide. In other words, Chacham hold you need Yesh Raglai Asara, but a machlokas Raglai Masar means totally vertical, or Raglai Masar means you have a width of a four tefachim. And Nafkamina would be. This picture is beautiful. Mamas, 10 tefachim wide. But let's say it doesn't look like that. Let's say it looks. Let's say I only have 8 tefachim, where it's absolutely vertical. Then it begins already to narrow. Let's say the 10 tefachim mark is over here. It starts to curve before 10 tefachim, but at the 10 tefachim level, I still have a width of 4. I can inscribe 10 tefachim by 4 tefachim within that door. So, lufi the tour, al kapashus lufi Rashi, it's totally chayv. It's totally chayv. Why? Because I have raglai masar. Raglai means that the part where it's a 4 tefachim wide. So that's great. Up until 10 tefachim, it is 4 tefachim across. The Rambam, though, would appear to say, Yosef is explicit, no, the raglaim are only the absolutely vertical part. Once it starts to curve, it's no longer raglaim. The raglaim are less than 10 tefachim wide. So that's
a big machlokas. It's a big machlokas, and just to unpack it, a number of nafkaminas. Number one, the most obvious nafkamina is what we just said. And the Beis Yosef is explicit. Beis Yosef is explicit about it. If you have a piece that's the side, the vertical pieces are less than 10 tefachim, even though it's wide, Rashi would say Yerchayev, and the Torah would say Yerchayev, but the Rambam would say the Beis Yosef goes on to point that according to the Tur, let's say in another situation, let's say there's nothing straight about it at all. The whole doorway is a semicircle. Or the whole doorway is angled, like a triangular doorway. But it's very wide. It's very tall. You have, a high of 10 tefachim, the width is way more than 4 tefachim. So according to the Tur, you're chayiv. According to the Rambam, you're pater. You need raglai masar, which Rama thinks means absolutely vertical. And then the Taz points out, it's not only a question of whether in a given case you're chayiv or not. I would say in this case, Rashi and the Torah would say you're chayiv, but the Rambam and the Mukhe Yosef say you're pater. That's not convenient. One, he points out. He says, let's take a look at this scenario, right? Let's say you even have a regular keeper, a more typical keeper. You don't come across that often. Nafkamina A, where the it's maschil hisagel, where it starts to curve before you reach a height of 10 tefachim, but it's wide. It doesn't happen so often. What happens more often, you'll see plenty of an afkamina B, is the following. I have a doorway. Keep on top. And the absolutely vertical
side posts are well more than 10 tefachim wide. Well, more than 10 tefachim wide. So you're definitely chayav. The question is now, nafkin number two is, in this case, is you're chayav where, not a resh pei zayin issue, but a resh pei tes issue. Where do you put the mezuzah? That's what the Taz points out. How do you put the shlush elyon? That we discussed in the simon resh pei tes. You have to put the mezuzah in the shlush elyon, but not in the top tefach. And it said the rush that specifically, ideally, we want tchil shlush elyon. So let's say here you have this part is straight, but then it begins to curve, but it remains rochav dalid, you know, almost until the top. So let's say so according to Rashi in the Tur, where does the mezuzah end? It ends over here. According to the Rambam, where does mezuzah end? Over here. Because as the Talmud points out, what the machlokes really is what's the definition of a mezuzah? Does mezuzah mean absolutely vertical, or mezuzah mean the side part that's separated by tefach? So the Rashi in the Torah would say mezuzah goes up to here. Let's draw an even more standard case. What you'll see commonly is there's a couple of inches of roundedness at the corner, and then it levels off into a straight vertical mashkof. So according to Rashi, this curved part, clearly across this is way more than dal tefachim. So for Rashi, the Torah, the mezuzah goes until this point. The Rambam, the mezuzah only goes as high as it's absolutely vertical. As soon as it starts to curve, that's the end of your mezuzah. So for the Rambam, you're going to be the shire, you're shlush elyon like that. This is the shlush elyon, and this is the top tefach, which is possible. Whereas according to Rashi in the tour, you can mishayer your shlush elyon. You're measuring all the way into the top, and this is your tefach, which is possible. So what you're going to try to do is cover your bases. Let's say over here, in between the two dotted lines, is what's kasher l'chol yalma. It's into the shlush elyon, even if you rash in the tour, and below it's on the mezuzah and below the tefach elyon, even according to the Rambam and then Luka Yosef. So that's usually what you're looking for. And then there's a third nafkamin. The third nafkamin, the Shach points out, is look, everyone agrees you need a higher yitzvachim. The Rambam, on the one hand, requires additionally that mezuzah of Yutvach has to be absolutely straight vertical, not rounded, not horizontal. On the other hand, he leaves out any reference to Roch of Dalad whatsoever. So Shach points out, Lemaisa, let's see, you have the other way around. You have a wonderfully straight doorway, it's just incredibly narrow. Now again, that's not very common because who's making doorways that are less than a Roch of Dalad? Sometimes it'll come up with a crawl space or something like that. Rochav Dal is not so wide. We're talking a foot and change. Three fourths inches for a tefach is 12 to 16 inches for Dal Tachim. That's pretty narrow. If you come across something like that, which is meant for, I guess, people to go through sideways, or meant for children, so are you chayv? Are you patzer? So Rambam lets. So Rashi maintains that the dalat fachim. So just to fit back the sugi a little bit, Rashi maintains that the dalat fachim. The Gemara had mentioned you need a dalat fachim across the bottom. So that was the definition of raglayim. For a mayor, you have to have just raglay gimel with the rocha, and raglay gimel meant rocha of dalat. But according to Chavi, you need raglay asara. Rashi says. Means the same way for a mayor, you need ragle gimel, meaning rochav dalad for height of gimel. For chami, you need rochav dalad for height of yud. The Rambam, on the other hand, left out entirely. Why? There are two ways to understand it. The Rif doesn't even mention Abaye whatsoever. No, he doesn't mention Abaye whatsoever because Abaye is same shot or a mayor. We don't pass him like a mayor. But what that ends up doing is leaving out any reference to dalad fachim. Bryce didn't say Dal Tfachim Beferish. So conceivably, the Rif and the Rambam don't hold. Would say only Abaye said there's a din of Dal Tfachim. There are other Amoraim who disagree. They're passing like those other Amoraim, maybe. One wonders who are those other Amoraim. Alternatively, probably easier approach to understanding how Dal Tfachim disappeared is that Dal Tfachim, it's not that only Abaye mentioned Dal Tfachim. It's that Abaye only mentioned Dal Tfachim B'das Rav Meir. In other words, that fundamentally, mezuzah means straight posts. So if you have straight posts, you have vertical piece, and the mezuzah has to be 10 tfachim. So if you have straight posts that are 10 tfachim, you're done. There is no separate tanai of dal tfachim, and that's why, by the way, we've been discussing in the past, you know, Rambam's 10 tanaim, which tanaim did Rambam not mention of other Rishonimites? So look, Rashi would have added a tanai of the Pesach has to be rachav dalet. But Rambam says, no, there is no din the Pesach has to be rachav dalet. That's only a prat. Again, this is a second approach to understanding why dalet tfachim disappeared in the Rambam. Not because it's only Abaye holds of it, it's only Rav Meir holds of it. Now, that was perhaps a tanai in the Chokin Lahashim. You want to say Chokin Lahashim, which is, as we said before, a chiddush. You're going to imagine ki'ilu. So for that ki'ilu, you have to, at least as we said before, like the titur, like the Pasei, it has to at least be a framework. You're not going to have the full shape, but you have to at least have the framework. So what does that framework look like? What does the framework look like? Well, obviously a height of 10 tefachim at some point, and also something at the bottom. You have to have full ragle gimel at the bottom. So apparently Abaye understood that for those ragle gimel to count as anything, it's not enough they're just straight. They have to be significantly spaced. They have to be rachav dalet. But again, it seems like the Rambam held, unless the Rambam held being a pasuk like Abaye, the other mahalach would be Rambam held. Abaye was only saying the dalet tfachim b'das Rav Meir. It's a tonight. You want to say this chiddush shchokin lahashlim. See, your ragle gimel have to have a rachav dalet. But if you don't need a chokin lahashlim, if you actually have real ragle asara, there is no independent tonight. Dalet tfachim is the rachav dalet is not a tonight. In the Tzuras HaPesach, it's not with the Tanan for Chiyu Mezuzah, it's just a Tanai in this Chiddush Chokin Lashem. Chokin Lashem requires a Rochav Dalet across the bottom. If you don't have to come on to Chokin Lashem, and we never come on to Chokin Lashem because we don't hold that in there, so the only time you're Chai is when you're not using Chokin Lashem, so then the Rambam says Rochav Dalet is irrelevant. Rochav Dalet is irrelevant. The Ritva seems to mesh them a little bit. Ritva seems to talk about having absolutely straight, but also potentially having rochav dalet. That may present a third shita. Perhaps you have to work through the Ritva carefully. But certainly the two major shitos, again, are luchora Rashi. I know Sage had pointed out you have to figure out how to read the Rashis. Certainly the tour holds that. That the definition of raglayim asar raglayim, you know, the definition of what's a mezuzah. Mezuzah means lav dafka is perfectly vertical, but that it's a point at which you still have the width of dalet tfachim. Whereas the Rambam and the Nemuke Yosef, the Pirat told that no, it means mamish, absolutely straight. Again, as we said, nafka meaning not only for what do you do when you don't have. A absolutely straight part for a height of asara, the original nafkamina number A, but also nafkamina B is when you do have it's absolutely vertical, but then afterwards is misagel. How are you mishayer the shloshali and how are you mishayer the tafet ayer? And finally, nafkamina number C was where the beautifully straight mezuzos, 10 plus high, but the rochav of less than dalet, is there a din of rochav dalet or not? The shach's comment. Two closing points. Number one is the end of the tour, the end of the Ramah, rather. The Ramah, number one, points out that there is a need for Gova Asar Tvachim, even though Rambam agrees, as we pointed out, that was the first Brisa on Yudalf on days, and there was clearly not Mutal B'Safek, so the only one that was Mutal B'Safek was Shara Hamadi. And then at the end, the Ramah goes on to talk about this terrible minig toes that people think you just put a one mezuzah on the front door and you don't put any mezuzah in any of the interior rooms, and that's absolutely wrong. So that's, you take a look at the Mordechai in Simen Tav Tav Kuf Samach Beis. He's the source for this. And this is terribly incorrect. And explain why. It's sort of maybe people are making like this shita, making like that shita. You have enough of that. We've seen so many different machlokes we've shown him and different issues. As if you make every single issue, you can knock out most of your interior mezuzahs. Of course, you could also make like enough shitas, you can figure out how to knock off the front door mezuzah also potentially. So the Ramah quotes we've shown him, it's just a mistake. This was a minig toast. Chaim Soloveitchik points out, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik points out, that, you know, different, if you go back to this in the literature that we showed him, I don't know if he gives this example in particular, you'll find that different communities had different areas of halacha that just sort of people, but tells just assume that's not really a din. And there's a common misperception, that's just a chumrah. I'm not shomer mezuzah. The rabbi does that. And there was this misperception that that's just like a Midas Chasidus. Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik points out that there were wide swaths of medieval Ashkenaz where many otherwise observant Jews thought that tefillin was optional. The rabbi wears tefillin. He's a big tzaddik. I'm not mechuyev to wear tefillin. And they thought Shabbos is obligatory, kashrut is obligatory, but tefillin is optional. No actual basis for that. That was an utter mistake. See here too, there was this notion that you have to put mezuzah on the front door. That is, maybe historically it was originally based on a mistranslation of bias, that means just the house, and not a room, maybe. Maybe, as we saw, the Gemaras are clearly not that way. For instance, the Gemara of the Pesach between the Beis Gavri and Beis Nashi. But maybe that was the source of the misconception. If you're wondering why the Ramah put it here, it's not relevant to specifically Kippah. I think he put it here because this is the closing, this is the end of the first segment of Hilchos Mezuzah. We learned Hilchos Mezuzah out of order. But here's a good opportunity to remember the flow of things. Reish Pei, there are seven simanim. So Reish Pei Hei is about introducing the concept of Mezuzah. Reish Pei Vav, Reish Pei Zayin are focused on whether or not I am chayiv. Figuring out, am I chayiv or not? Reish Pei Vav about the dinim of the bais, Reish Pei Zayin about the dinim of the Pesach. And then from this point on, we're going to talk about assuming that I am chayiv, how do I do it? Reish Pei Ches will take us through the reverse of the order of the Rambam. Reish Pei, who had Perakei before Perak Vav, the Tur and Shulchan Aruch first talk about, am I chayiv? And then, given that I'm chayiv, what's the procedure? So Reish Pei Ches talks about how to write it. Reish Pei Ches talks about how to attach it. Reish Tzadi, he returns to some more of the detailed dinim of Safras. And finally, Reish Tzadi Aleph is, now that it's up, what are the ongoing dinim of maintenance? What are the dinim that apply once the mezuzah is already up? That has to do with bedika, and that has to do with when I leave, am I allowed to take it down? And then he closes with who is chayiv, returns at the very end to something that really came at the beginning. It's a question of which Jews are chayiv in mezuzah. So Mirtz Hashem, in the coming week, we're gonna move on to Reish Tzadi Aleph, and then right after Purim, we'll have a chance to hear from Rabbi Mendelowitz about the Reish Pei Ches and Reish Tzadi issues, the Safras issues. Let me just close for today with one issue that we had left hanging last week, we mentioned at the beginning, and that's the question of what do you do in the scenario that's described in later in Erev, in Erev and Tzadi Beis. Chatzur Gadol and Chatzur Ketan. They're talking about, there are many, many areas of halacha. You have a small room and a big room. From the perspective of the big room, there's a mechitza, here's the gadol, and here's the katan. You're in the gadol, so you're looking at the katan, there's a wall, there's a mechitza as you face the katan. There's a pesach in the middle to the katan. From the perspective of the katan, you're straight open into the gadol. The Gemara is the host of nafkaminas. That, let's say, if there's a Jew standing in the gadol, the soa and the katan, so the Jew in the gadol is a lot of daven, because there's a mechitza between him and the soa. There's a mechitza with a pesach. If you're Jew, it's the reverse. The Jew is in the katan, and the soa is in the gadol. From his perspective, is nifrat, l'makam ha'aser, that is problematic. And a host of other nafkaminas. Question, one enough means the Gemara does not give is mezuzah. Chovas Hadar does talk about this. What do you do? I think one of the pictures I had said may have had that as well. What do you do if you're going from the lobby into the coat room? I think that was one of the pictures I sent you. There are two doors in the new Beth Abraham lobby. There's a, when you walk in, the coat room is to the left, and there are two doors from the lobby to the coat room. One of them has Rosh Hashanah protruding as you're walking through, where it's classic Rosh Hashanah protruding into the door space. Bird's eye view, it looks like this. So that's, if you hold the Rosh Hashanah, again, if you're not going to follow the Rambam, but that's definitely, there's your tip. But the question, the other doorway, that's option number one. Option number two, on door number two. Option number two is it just looks like this. There's nothing, it's just a corner. You have a big room, and then you go into a small room. And at the right side, you're looking for your Pitzimim in. There's nothing protruding. So the... But on the other hand, well, nothing protruding, but how about the Sugyan Airmen? How about the Sugyan Airmen? So there are two ways that might look. One is where the Knesset is from the Gadol to the Katan, right? And the other is where the Knesset is from the Katan to the Gadol. So what should the din be? So the Chovas Hadar says that in this case is Chayav. Mechov Zadar in Perek Zayin, Os Zayin. He says, "Oh, there you go. This case is Chayiv." He says, "Because look, which room is Chayiv? The second room. The Gadol, not the Katan. It's the Gadol, which is the actual bias. And as we said, from the perspective of the Gadol, this is a Pesach." Right, a Jew is in the Gadol and so is in the Katan. No problem, there's a Mechitza and a Pesach. So Chov Zadar said, look, if the Knesset is from the Katan to the Gadol, so then you're Chayiv, because from the perspective, from within that bias, this is your Pesach, and Adi Petzimim, you're good to go. That's Chov Zadar said. Rabbi Willig, I did not hear this from him directly, but I was told that Rabbi Willig says, I can't. That you're chayiv in their other case, the gal going into the katan. Because what does it help that if once you're in the second room, you see a pesach, that has to be a pesach as you're entering. So it needs to be, I'm told, I will accept dafka when it's gadol into katan, then you're chayiv. And Rabbi Shechter holds that neither one is chayiv. Shechter holds neither one is chayiv because yes, there's a mechitza. I mean, the Sugin Erevin says that from the perspective of the Gadol, the Katan is a separate space. That's true, but not sufficient for mezuzah. And maybe that's why the Gemara didn't mention mezuzah. So Shah says, but you need Petzimim for mezuzah. It's not enough that there are walls and there's a mechitza with the Pesach. I need Petzimim. So the Gemara in Lamadalit has a Chiddush, I need Petzimim. If you have Rosh Hashanah, those also count as Petzimim. But you don't even have Rosh Hashanah. You have a mechitza with a hole. But you need Petzimim. I need either mamish, the Rambam assumes, real separate posts, or at the very least, I need a wall that ends at a tip. I need a wall tip. I need a Rosh Kosel. So he says, if you have this case number one, it's mamish Rosh Hashanah, and the wall tip pointed in, so that's a chiddush, that's your Petzim. If you don't like the Rambam, that's the Petzim. But here, there is a mechitza, but there's no pitzim to the doorway. Not a formal, full pitzim that the Rambam would be happy with, nor even a Rosh Kosel. So there's nothing. That's where Shechter holds that in neither case are you chayiv. In both these cases, he assumes that you're pater. The only time you're chayiv is we actually have a wall tip that's it doesn't angle. Has to be a wall tip like this. It doesn't angle like this, and it doesn't angle like that. It just ends. It just ends. There's a tip. Space from all three sides. So that's when he assumes that you're chayiv. But in these two cases, you would be pater. This completes our limud of the short and very dense and incredibly rich Siman Reish Pei Zayin Mirchem in the coming week. We're going to move on to explore some of the issues of Bedikas HaMezuzah and Atilas HaMezuzah and Reish Sariyal. We're moving towards the completion with Hashem of Hilchus Mezuzah. Hopefully we'll have some time to chazer, and you can really start to think about what your preferences are going forward. Whether you would want to spend the balance of the year on Hilchus, some Hilchus Sefer Torah, some Hilchus Tzedakah, some Hilchus Kibbutz HaEim.